Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
If you say so.
Aw. Did little Chris have a bad day?
No, I had a good day. I just felt like being less enthused than that intro.
Alright, fine. Whatever. La-di-da.
You know, I'm too cool for this stuff, man. I'm big time.
Well, I don't know. After, like, SummerSlam, and then that episode after SummerSlam, now we're, like, 2 weeks out, and I'm like, so Raw happened.
I mean, it did, and it was a good Raw. It was fun.
Yeah, but I had amazing Raw lead up into SummerSlam because I was pumped for SummerSlam. Then I had SummerSlam, which was everything I dreamed SummerSlam would be. Then right. I had the thing after SummerSlam, which was all the fallout of SummerSlam. And now I got a good Raw, which, admittedly, at other times of the year, I'd be like, guys, the Raw we had this week
was fantastic, yeah.
But now I'm like, oh, Raw.
Right. I mean, they all can't be high octane.
Oh, like, I know.
We have to settle in a little bit.
Honestly, this is a good thing that I'm feeling this way. If I'm feeling, you know, mundane about a Raw of this quality, that means they've been doing good for a while.
Yeah.
That absolutely. I'm starting to get spoiled, and that's what I want. I want to be spoiled.
Oh, we noticed that. You know, how you stated last week where you want everything now.
Now. Give it to me now. Exactly.
Just, right? Like, you don't want it spread out on these three-hour shows. You want it all in, like, a 12-hour just marathon of greatness.
Yeah. I want never-ending wonderfulness. And I will not be satisfied for anything less, because I deserve the best.
And then you won't be satisfied, period, because you'll have, like you said, you'll be high octane all the time, and there will be no lull, so you really can't appreciate the great moments.
That's true. And I'll need greater moments. It's what they should strive for. It's what any entertainment business should strive for.
Well, yeah,
continual greatness. It's not what I expect. I mean, don't get me wrong. But this is a good thing that I'm, about Raw this week. Because what it truly means is that WWE has been producing some great content recently.
Yeah.
So, but that being said, let's jump into this mundane Raw.
You're hopefully indifferent.
Yes.
Okay.
So I'll take that, yeah.
All right.
So, mundane Raw, here we go.
Okay.
We had, let's see, what we have? We had that car bit happen.
Yeah, the car thing did happen.
Which is a complete retread of Kofi Kingston doing this to Randy Orton's car.
I mean, I don't know if it's a complete retread, but it's very similar.
It's so close.
It's very close. Involved paint, involved the car, backstage.
And Randy Orton.
And Randy Orton.
And somebody'd be like, hey Randy, look, I see your car, and it's really cool, and look what I did to it.
Yeah.
On the Tron. And you know how, like, they talk about every 7 years, there's enough of a new audience that you can repeat stories every 7 years?
Mm-hmm.
So it happened in 2009, so they're starting to cut that down.
And, I mean, we also got pretty similar to this not too long ago with Del Rio's car and Sheamus.
Yeah, that didn't happen.
I mean, it wasn't paint.
Yeah, that didn't happen. No.
No?
No.
Is that making Daniel Bryan a little bit too close to Sheamus for your
that point? That is, like, looking back on it now, that is really the true beginning of when I hated Sheamus, was when he was doing nothing but being a jerk to Alberto. And Alberto was being a solid, upstanding champion for all intents and purposes. He was playing by the rules at all times. Mm. I mean, he gloated, but he was the champion.
Was he the champion? I thought Sheamus was at the time.
That whole
Because that feud. Was the point where they had a feud against each other, but Sheamus never lost. He was the champion. He never lost to Alberto, but yet they had a feud that lasted 3-4 months.
Maybe.
And it was because it was also the one where they kept reusing that one moment where Sheamus slammed that car hood on Del Rio's head, and they reused that video over and over and over again. That's where it started for me, that just oversaturation of that one moment.
Yeah. But it was that feud where Del Rio didn't do anything bad, and Sheamus did a lot. Sheamus, like, sought Del Rio out to be mean to him.
Right.
And I was like, nope, I'm done. I'm done. That was it. And that was when I was like, coming to terms, I'm making a declarative statement to brandish this flag of no Sheamus.
I'm going to make a stance on Sheamus 6 months from now on the podcast.
Mm-hmm. Way to
take a stand, Joel.
It took some coming to terms
you
with.
You are a hero. Ryback is shaking in his boots.
Ryback, you wait. May of 2014, I'm coming for you, buddy.
Is that 6 months from now?
I don't know.
I was about to say, that seems like closer to 10.
Yeah. It takes some coming to terms for me, because I, you know, I really strive to look at positive and potential, right, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I feel like in a world of people complaining about wrestling, which is what wrestling fans do, is just complain about the product.
Right. Which is something I've always liked about us. Like, we do complain about stuff, but by and large, we just talk about what we like, mm-hmm, you know?
Yeah.
Like, we want to give you guys a hug via podcast. That's what this podcast is. It is a hug to the wrestling
fan. A hug for your ears.
Exactly.
So, but that was it. I was like, I really had to come to terms with, no, there is nothing positive about Sheamus right now. And that's where it started. That's right. That's where, like,
how he's been gone for 3 weeks, and yet
he's still.
I mean, it's my fault. I'm the one that brought it up initially, mm-hmm, but
yeah,
I still love how that his hatred runs that deep. I wonder where we'll be like 2 months from now.
I cannot wait for Sheamus to come back. I'm really interested
and see. What they do with it.
It is the closest they'll have to a clean slate, and for me to give Sheamus another chance, like. To get Sheamus back to a point where I could cheer for him, or at least be excited or okay with him being on, they were in such a hole at the point that Sheamus left, mm-hmm, that I was just, like, so emotionally done with him as that gimmick and that character that I do not know if I could have gotten back to a point, even if they had done stuff that I approved and agree on. Because they were at the end, you remember? Mm-hmm. Like, said, like, that was good. That's exactly how I would have liked Sheamus to be booked. But no, I was still done with Sheamus.
You have this hopeful optimism about his return.
Right.
Now let's see if I can poke giant holes in it. How long? Let's say the last two times Christian's been injured.
Uh-huh.
How long was he out? For about a year or so?
Yeah.
Came back the exact same character. Mm-hmm. Didn't make any changes to it. Even though before that character really wasn't working all that well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just throwing that seed down in your mind.
Christian's not Sheamus. They have never. He has never had the corporate push that Sheamus gets.
Okay, fair enough.
And at least not during his biggest push was.
But they know, like, they know that version of Sheamus garnishes them a certain amount of merchandise and
that's
value.
True. That's true.
But, so, what motivation do they have to change anything about Sheamus?
Because hopefully, they are forced, with Sheamus out and Cena out, they are forced to take a look at the landscape of the WWE right now, and Sheamus will return to a different landscape than he left. And Sheamus will be forced to adapt or get left behind.
Okay, I'm going to vote for left behind. I ultimately, it comes to just dollar amounts.
Yeah.
And I don't see them risking their little pocket of cash that they see Sheamus as.
I mean, if nothing else, the time away will do us good.
Fair enough, yeah, yeah.
Between me and Sheamus.
Right.
Time away will do us good, and that it will start to heal those wounds.
Speaking of guys that are out with injury, if I may,
mm-hmm,
I'm not a fan of the direction of Total Divas right now.
The show?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Because they are putting my boy Tyson Kidd in such a negative light, and I don't like it. I don't care if it's true. I don't care. But in my heart of hearts, I want to believe that it's all scripted, and he's actually a wonderful human being, and they're just trying to build all this up for the cameras.
Well, they're married now.
I know.
So
I know, but right now it looks like, oh, I'm home all the time, but I'm so oblivious to everything going on around me, and I'm a horrible fiance, boyfriend, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That I don't know what to do, and the only time I ever actually do something or make a move is after I'm already in the doghouse and I have to find some way to recover.
Yeah.
Like, pretty much every good thing that he does on the show looks like a way of just getting out of that hole.
I'm just saying.
But then again, I've also been single for a year. I'm pretty sure I've probably done the same exact thing.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, something must have gone okie dokie.
I know. But they're not doing him any favors currently.
No.
Come on. Because I want secretly, I wanted Total Divas to be a way to gain interest for, like, in everyone's hearts for Tyson Kidd whenever he returns.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's the great, awesome guy we saw at Total Divas. He's back. Let's give all the money to him and have him in all the matches. On all the shows.
There's a girl that I know, and this is genuinely not a me and my girlfriend's story.
Okay. I was just about to ask.
It's genuinely about a different girl.
Okay.
Whose boyfriend really likes wrestling.
Okay.
And so,
does this boyfriend have a podcast?
No, it's not us. because I was talking to her tonight before the podcast, actually. And she watches Total Divas, and it's doing its job where it's like bridging gaps. And,
right. It's the person that never would have watched wrestling otherwise.
Right.
Okay.
And she really likes the Bella Twins.
Oh, it hurts.
And it's really interesting to, like, get her take, because she hasn't totally...
At least tell me she likes Brie more.
I don't know who she likes more, but okay. she's like,
you know. Because Nikki is such an idiot.
Even as portrayed on the show. Well, it's really interesting, because she is getting a backstage peek at a world she has no interest in.
Right.
So... whereas we're watching Total Divas, and we're like, I remember when that happened.
Right.
Or, you know, we see, you know, somebody walk across the background, and we're like, I know that guy!
Also, they pipe in so much crowd noise whenever they cut to actual matches. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, it's a Superstars match with the Funkadactyls, and everyone's going nuts! That never happened!
No. But, so, I was talking about, you know, I was like, well, the Bella Twins, you know, I asked her if she saw John Cena's elbow, you know, and so...
Kill it with fire!
So, I just said, you know, have you seen John's elbow?
Yeah.
And because he's out now. Because she's like, and I know who some wrestlers are because I've been watching the show. I know about right. The Bella Twins, I'm about to tell you. And she's like, John's like, oh, he's the Bella Twins. You like Bella Twins. He's one of the Bella Twins' boyfriend. She's like, oh, what's his, John Danielson?
But oh, like, you, God. You, oh God! It hurts.
You fuse them together.
Oh, my heart burns. Kill it with fire.
It's just—it's an interesting thing because, you know, she doesn't understand that we sit here and be like, "It's Daniel Bryan. Look at him go."
Oh, God.
And so, you know,
just made so many wrestling fans throw up in their own mouths right now.
It's interesting because they're minor characters in her wrestling world.
Yeah,
you know, main characters in her wrestling world is JoJo.
Oh,
so
well, she's not even a main character on Total Divas.
Fair enough, but she's one of the top. Well, you know, she's one of the top six or whatever.
They've been scenery for like the past two episodes.
Yes,
which I'm okay with.
Yeah, fair enough.
Although the other one, I'm just referring to him as the Bella Triplet.
Bella Triplet.
Yeah.
Redheaded Bella Triplet. She's literally the redheaded stepchild of the Bella Twins.
Yeah.
So.
And I mean, especially if Nikki can't wrestle anymore, mm-hmm. which they've made they've alluded to it, so.
I don't know.
I mean, I'm not saying that that's a big loss. And that's not really much to gain.
The wrestling world weeps.
Yeah.
So, I guess we should, this is a natural segue to AJ having her little moment on Raw this week.
Yeah, she came out while every member of the Total Divas cast, not saying every Total Diva or every Total Diva wrestler, I'm saying the cast.
Mm-hmm.
Because words are important.
Yes.
They're all out. Even had JoJo doing the ring announcing, which, whatever.
Which, whatever. Yeah, I agree.
At the end of the match, AJ came out and just let them all have it. It was a really good promo. Very biting, which fits the AJ character. A little hypocritical.
Yeah?
Yeah, whenever, you know, basically making allusions that, you know, you hook up with the right person and you get your 15 minutes of fame, essentially. When basically that's what she's done for the past year, or all her character anyway. I mean, she's more alluding to, you know, behind the scenes kind of situation, you know, and hers is more of a plot-driven character.
Yeah, she has been hooked up with the right people.
Right.
At the right times.
Right. And I mean, and some people were like, oh yeah, it was a total shoot, and it really wasn't. Like, I would think, and I've talked about this more at length in my column, so it's a very large rant, so there's your warning. I feel like if it was an actual shoot where she actually was airing out all of her grievances over the Total Divas show or whatever, I think she would have at least left out the parts that would make her look like a hypocrite.
No.
You know? And I would at least think that she would have enough sense to exclude at least Natalia from a lot of that.
Yeah.
Now, granted, she recovered from that a little bit whenever she said, you know, I wasn't born into the Tuas or anything like that. And also, you can probably exclude Naomi.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, she has been working at this for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely more than the rest of them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I was not as blown away with that promo as a lot of the internet was.
Yeah. I mean, in the moment, I was pretty excited by it. But now that I have time to think, I've kind of calmed down. A lot of people are still excited by it.
Those who have suggested that it is an actual shoot, no.
No, I mean,
no. The Punk thing, I get. Because at the time, you know, Punk was leaving. Like, those who would think, oh, this could be actually real, were also the people in the know that Punk's contract was genuinely close to being expired.
Right.
That Punk was genuinely upset.
Yeah.
There is no indication that AJ has any reason to be upset with her position in the company. She is champion.
She's champion. She's almost guaranteed a TV spot every single week.
Mm-hmm.
How many times have we seen a Raw that goes a complete episode without any sort of diva interaction?
Yeah.
Like, we've had some just as... I remember it was before WrestleMania, like, pretty close to WrestleMania, where we went the entire 3 hours with no divas.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Except we still got AJ, because she was with
I think it was
Ziggler at the time.
Yeah.
So she was on TV.
Yeah. There, like, was no, like,
diva. There's no diva storyline, but AJ was on TV.
Right.
So, no, there's no reason for AJ to be genuinely upset. She is not out with the company the way Punk was.
Right, and
his still wasn't even a shoot. So if his wasn't a shoot, hers isn't a shoot.
No, absolutely. Like, because that's another point, you know, because I know that it's not something that a lot of people like to hear, but Funk's really wasn't a shoot.
No.
I'm pretty sure he had to run it by somebody. I mean,
well, general consensus.
What made it feel like a shoot is that he said certain words in the promo that we were led to believe are naughty.
Taboo. Yeah.
In the WWE scope.
I mean,
but really, then it's not that much. They just don't, like, saying it.
He was given a very long leash.
Yes.
But general consensus was, you go out there, say what you want, and
I think
we'll cut you off.
Yeah, I think they gave him a beginning point, and they told him where he needed to get to. And
so
I said, like, the conversation probably went like this. Like, we need you to do something to build this match up a little bit more. And we need you to, you'll be able to say whatever you want, and you have to get up to a certain point that would justify us cutting your microphone off.
Yeah.
Now, you know what we consider to be airable on our television. So there's your box that you can work in.
I don't even think it was that much. Honestly, like, I think, because at the end
CM Punk knows by that. He had been in the company by 6 years at the time. He knows what's acceptable and what's not.
I think at the end of the day, you know, Punk still wants to put on a show.
Yeah.
Like, I've mentioned that before when we talked about, because we talk about this promo all the time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, in the middle of this promo where he's complaining about the company, he stops and tries to get boos from the fans.
Yeah.
The fans are going crazy for him. And he stops and he's like, you know, and I'm mad at you guys too. I'm leaving for all because all of you suck.
Yeah.
So no, he is still in character as real and complete.
If this was a full on shoot, knowing what we know about Punk, first off, they wouldn't have any sort of agenda. Like, they're basically he was trying to put over this match.
Yeah.
There would be no agenda, and there would be a lot more F-bombs dropped.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know how he talks on Twitter.
Yeah.
And that's the real Punk.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, you know, the punk we see on TV isn't that far off. It's just a little bit more sanitized.
It's a little PG-er.
Yeah.
So, I believe that there was basically, here's your chance to air your grievances. Mm-hmm. You've, you know, whatever. Because honestly, the second anything goes off, you know, off the rails, they would cut to a commercial straight away.
Oh, absolutely.
So it was, we can cut you at any time. We have that power. Say what you want to say. And you start to dance around something we don't want you to dance around, we'll cut you. And they gave him a big long leash because what'd they have to lose? It was the middle of the summer.
Mm-hmm. And they needed something.
Mm-hmm. So,
And I mean, I understand the excitement of everyone, you know, in their reactions to the AJ one, because the punk promo in 2011, it gave us a taste of something that we hadn't had in a very long time.
Yeah.
And we wanted more of it.
Yeah.
So now once we get anything that slightly resembles it, we go nuts for it.
Yeah.
And I think that's what happened here. Like, we got a taste of something that resembled it, that, mm-hmm. that was, I put it like this, it's a CM Punk impression, but it's only on the surface.
Yeah.
Punk's promo cut a little bit deeper, you know, but this one was a little bit more shallow.
Well, I think this one was more scripted. I don't think AJ gets the leash that Punk gets.
No. I mean, granted, she'll get a bigger leash considering everything that she's done in the past year.
No.
I feel like WWE has a lot of faith in her.
I think that they really like her and want to keep with her,
mm-hmm.
but she is, you know, Punk was about to leave in a few weeks then. If he says something that he can't come back from, so what? You know,
mm-hmm.
they're going to fire him anyway. Or he's gone anyway. If AJ says something that she can't come back from, that's bad. So, I think there was a lot more, you know. And yes, there's, you know, the only things of that promo, and it wasn't a bad promo. Let me not.
Yeah.
You know, it was a perfectly
fine promo. I'm still a fan of it. I still really enjoyed it. Yeah.
I did not like the fact that they aired so much audio of the Bella Twins.
Yeah, that's another. I felt like that was another tell that it was scripted. Like,
yeah. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind.
Yeah, because that.
It never crossed my mind that she was.
It felt like the usual cheesy diva response to anyone that disagreed with somebody. Like, you know, divas are going to start yelling at each other.
I didn't mind them yelling because, you know, that would do that, but you didn't. I didn't have to have that audio, and that audio was annoying. And not annoying in a way that was good. You know, not in a, booing to the heels annoying, you know.
Yeah.
It was really just annoying.
I did like, irritating. I did like the Fakadactyls throwing of the single pom-pom.
Yeah.
That was a nice touch.
That being said, the interest that could come out of this is, where does being a Total Divas cast member land you on the roster? Mm-hmm. Because we have had, so far since the show started, we have had this AJ and Caitlyn feud for the belt over here, and in this completely separate bubble, the faces and the heels of mm-hmm. Total Divas going after each other, because, hey, you guys, by the way, you should watch Total Divas.
Right.
This is the first real big interaction between those two separate bubbles.
Right.
Because
they don't even allude to AJ or Caitlyn on the show. Like, we saw in the first episode, a brief moment where Layla comes in and does her usual, they're there thing.
Yeah.
But she seems to do a lot.
Yes.
That's really it. Like, AJ's the top diva at this moment, and was at the moment of them shooting this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand their unwillingness to include her, which is a lot of, you know, it was the main gripe of a lot of people when they first started talking about the show. And Caitlyn. They seem pretty high on both of them, but they weren't included. So, yeah, it's interesting now to see them interact, which is why I'm thinking that, you know, maybe they will include AJ in the next season. Because I'm assuming that now they'll include some more, now that some interest was started.
Like, yeah.
Because every season they're going to have to do something different.
This time, yeah, next season on the, we're adding the da-da-da.
And I'd rather have
go to Hawaii.
I'd rather have them add divas that are currently on the roster than randomly add nobodies that we've never heard of that haven't even gone to NXT or anything like that.
Right, yeah, no, I agree with that. So, the you can't lace up my Converse line was there to be good, if that makes sense. Somebody wrote that. It feels like somebody wrote that line back and was like, yeah, this should be said. It wasn't this, you know, total organic, truly great moment.
Right.
It was fine, but it felt a lot more of a standard promo than a truly star-making moment promo.
Yeah.
And, okay, not a lot of people get truly star-making promos this moment defines. Punk got that. There is before the pipe bomb, and there is after the pipe bomb. Mm. It is a completely different take on Punk, a completely different level of investment in this character and in this wrestler.
Yeah.
The wrestlers don't get that. They get close. The moment that Dolph Ziggler did his bit on AJ, he's like, I'm gonna cut you, stop you right here. Yeah. Way back in the beginning.
Oh, when he had, like, almost Oscar-worthy moment where...
When he cut her down, I was, you know...
Where I was wondering who hurt Dolph and how...
Yes.
How can we kill that person?
Yeah, it was a great moment, and it still wasn't this... moment. Austin 316 is the moment that I'm looking for, you know?
Right.
It's there's before that, and part of that's he won King of the Ring at that moment, and, like...
Well, yeah.
But there's before Austin 316, and there's post Austin 316.
Yeah.
And you can almost see that man's career get made on a line, you know?
Yeah.
In this line. And so I get searching for that one line, and trying to give that to the wrestlers that you want to get over.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't fault them for that. It just didn't feel like this one. It felt like this one came close. It didn't quite make it for me.
Right.
But it might have for you. So good for you. That being said, you know, I still really want to see them. I'm more invested in the Divas than I have been in years.
Oh yeah.
They're doing great jobs. Carry on. Do what you're doing.
And really, the whole thing with the AJ promo is just we're nitpicking at this point.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You
know, like by and large, I love what they're doing.
Yeah. Let's not forget the diva promos we were getting 6 months and a year ago.
Oh, yeah. That's the sound of Joel gagging.
No. Like, this is a fantastic promo on the scale. This is a fantastic promo on the scale of divas because it is a really, really, really good promo on the scale of when they give people time to make good promos.
On the promo meter... But, you know, zero being,
Oh, worst promo ever. What are you trying... You have to come up with the worst promo ever right here, right now, on the spot, because you started this statement. What is it? What is the worst promo that's ever happened? Tell us.
The Nexus promo where every single one of them got to talk on the mic.
Oh, you didn't like that one?
Specifically Darren Young's. Holy God, that was the most awkward, like... 30 seconds of my life.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, but as a whole, all seven of those guys, or how many there were at the time, as a whole, it was horrible.
Yeah.
It was also the same one, I think, where John Cena, like, ripped them all apart one by one, too. But their part was horrible. And of course, 10 being the promo with CM Punk.
Yeah.
I'd give it a solid 7.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
Higher than average, not quite greatness.
Your zero isn't Brock Lesnar saying piss?
No, that's 2.
Really? That one bothers me more because it was recorded. So they had the opportunity to be like, nope, this, we can burn this.
No, Joel, you know what that promo was?
What?
Piss.
God. Yeah, that was bad. And that one irritates me more because it's like, they could have at least been like, let's do another take.
I think you need to rewatch that Nexus promo, dude.
I don't want to.
Exactly.
I'll
rewatch the piss promo just to get a laugh at that one line because I will giggle.
The Nexus one was only bad, I feel, like, because at about guy 3 or 4, you're like, oh, they're gonna go down the whole line. Everybody's gonna say something.
And there was
so, I know, like it's not,
like,
it's,
even like the Skip Sheffield one was so bad.
It's not a great, it wasn't a great promo, and it was bad, but it wasn't truly horrible. Except you knew exactly how long it was going to take. You could see where the end was, and it was not close.
No, it wasn't.
So I think that adds a lot of foreboding to that promo that makes it worse than it actually is.
All aspects put together is what made it so bad. Just like how you're saying, you know, what's really bad about Brock's is that it was pre-taped.
Yeah.
And it was still horrible. And you know the miracles that WWE's production team can work.
Yeah.
And they still couldn't make it serviceable.
Mm-hmm. I mean, okay. That promo was so bad, it forced WWE to mend fences with Paul Heyman.
And that was a fence that we never thought would be mended.
Yes. That's how bad it was. Somebody had to make that phone call because they saw that promo. And I was like, nope. So, that's my... I don't know. That's, you know what? That's the pitching that out. To the, what are your response? Worst promo.
I think there's a certain Randy Savage one that Colt Cabana put on his YouTube once. I think he might have done the audio to it.
Yeah,
but it was pretty bad.
Well, there's also
that, and then those some other factors. You know, though he was doing it from behind a cage.
Yeah.
And someone was, like, climbing, and then you could see them, like, kind of try to walk underneath the camera and not working at all.
I mean, there's also, to be fair, you know, like, a lot of promos from way back in the day I don't find very good, because they're a very different style.
Right.
You know, that's, I can't really hold that against them.
Okay, so, what's the cutoff? Like,
no, okay, I'm willing to say you can go back to that. But you need to have specific reasonings why this was bad promo in this time.
All right, so we put it to everyone listening.
I do say it needs to be WWE or WCW or maybe TNA. Like, you can't go dig into, like, some, you
backwoods
know, yeah.
promo that we never...
Because those are bad.
Okay, stick...
There are a lot of bad ones out there.
Stick to WWE, WCW... TNA, like the ones that I've had national broadcasting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would like it to be stuff from more recently because it is comparable to what we sit through today. But if there is a like Hulk Hogan WrestleMania 2 promo that just eats at you to this day, and you need to talk about it, that's fine.
Oh, someone's gonna mention Snitsky kicking the baby. That one was pretty bad.
It was bad, but it had that baby kicking moment in
true.
It.
True. All right, so yeah.
Which is just like so Andy Warhol absurdist that I'm like, okay. I can't give this a rating because it's like on a scale of 1 to 10, you get the rating of potato.
Yes. So, here's what we're looking for. You're listening to this, and you have a promo, or you come across one that you think would be considered the worst ever. Send us the what you think it is, all your reasons why, maybe a YouTube clip, because it would be nice to have a visual.
Yeah, if you really need to.
Yeah, and we will absolutely talk about that on the show. If you want to send that to our email, that's classicringattire@gmail.com, or Twitter,
Twitter. Yeah, we'll take it through Twitter as well. Hashtag worst promo ever.
I don't want to get confused with Colt Cabana's show.
Does he do worst promo ever?
Yeah, it's actually pretty funny. You should watch it.
Really?
Okay. It comes out on Mondays. It's pretty hilarious.
Oh, he does, doesn't he? Yeah. I watched that back at the very beginning. Yeah. I stopped watching it, though. Alright, fair enough.
They're still pretty funny, yeah.
Alright, cool. Yeah. Rock on. Next up, what do we got?
There's a bit of news that you wanted to bring up, so I will let you do that.
Oh, yeah, we found out that New Japan Pro Wrestling signed a TV deal with like Singapore for some reason. But what comes from this that's interesting is that it will be there'll be an English broadcast of it in English, so we can find out what's going on.
Yeah, like there's been a big I don't know if resurgence is the right word, but it seems like New Japan Pro Wrestling is building more of a presence, especially on the internet now that they're doing the iPay-per-views. So this is just a further them growing some more, and I think that it's pretty good for them.
It's pretty good.
And you know, we get to we'll be able to see through the magic of the internet of you know New Japan Pro Wrestling in English, so we can actually understand what's going on.
Yeah. I've seen YouTube clips of just their matches, but not a whole lot of what exactly is going on there, you know, because I can't follow it. And it's not there's not an easy way to be like, oh, here this episode follows this episode, and this is how this feud builds. But I kind of right now with Chikara doing not have being what it was, and what all's going on over there. I guess it's weird, but there is a hole for the fourth most prominent wrestling organization.
Yeah.
With, WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, and then the fourth slot, that New Japan Pro Wrestling, I very could see them being fulfilling that slot.
Worldwide, yeah. Like, yeah, basically this TV deal helps them out to grow worldwide.
Yeah. So I will actually be interested to see what it looks like in English.
Yeah, I mean, I'm open to it, yeah. I mean, I haven't seen as much as I would like, but this would definitely help that.
Yeah.
So. Speaking of, we did mention a few weeks back when we had our super awesome guest, Chastity Taylor, on, that there was an episode of NXT coming up featuring a 2 out of 3 falls match between Antonio Cesaro and Sami Zayn.
Mm-hmm.
That is his...
I think so.
Yes. Yes. I always want to say El Generico, but yeah. That match aired this past week. If you haven't checked it out, find some way to do that.
I think NXT is free on Hulu now. I don't think you need Plus right now to watch.
Okay. NXT, well, I mean, so. Well, there you go. Check out Hulu. There, we don't...
I think. I'm not promising. I'm not promising.
They don't advertise for us, but there's a free plug. So if they want to reimburse us, that'll be great.
Thank you much, Lee.
Thank you very much. So yeah, it's... I watched it, and it was very, very good. Yeah. I highly recommend it. All
right.
It's one of those things where I can't figure out why I haven't put Zayn on the main roster yet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, granted, he just got there to NXT, and, everyone has to kind of go through this process.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, hurry up.
Well, honestly, there was a interview with Triple H a while back. Not a while back, like a week or two back, where he talked about the development center that they've built. And he talked about, it was interesting he was talking about that WWE has become a victim of its own success because there's nowhere... They've eaten all the territories, and there's nowhere for wrestlers to go cut their teeth anymore. And so they are working on building that through
NXT.
Yeah, NXT. Yeah. And
which is incredibly smart.
Yeah. It's this whole center, and it really gives people kind of a step one for how to be a WWE superstar,
and it gives something for the snarky hipster wrestling fan to complain about.
Oh, absolutely.
Be like, oh yes, well, I watched NXT this week, where so-and-so that you've probably never heard of.
Yes.
I hate hipsters of all kind. But that being said, this past NXT was very good, and I recommend it. I'm not being, snotty about it, because I don't watch that much NXT.
You're trying so hard. Moving on.
Fair enough. Interesting bit of news came out. Ted DiBiase decided not to re-sign with WWE. And he's, citing personal reasons. Much like, Tyler Rex whenever he left.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I'm kind of surprised this is just now happening. Because there was a time, I think last year, where the rumor was, they were going to release Ted DiBiase any day now.
Yeah.
You know, because he wanted to pursue acting or something. I forgot what the reason was. So, I mean... duh. I mean, he was gaining a little bit of momentum, like, with the whole DiBiase posse thing.
Well, that's the thing, is
then
like...
he, like, broke his foot.
He has... They have given him genuine pushes. Like, Legacy was a thing. Like, it was a real thing. Legacy was fighting DX at SummerSlam.
Mm-hmm. They had a WrestleMania match.
Mm-hmm. So, he got that push, and they... you know, obviously would have to split up because that's how, you know, mm-hmm. the art goes.
And Cody went one way and he went the opposite.
Well, and like, he went to this, like, fortunate son angle, which seems very natural. Like, that's what I would have pitched if I was in there. I was like, you remember the Million Dollar Man? You remember how big it was? Let's do that exact thing again. We have his son, you bring back the shiny dollar belt, mm-hmm. you know, you have him throw wads of cash at people and laugh about it.
Right.
And then, like, the oh, million one thing would be super cool, but you'll never get it, is you get Virgil to come back. And they got Virgil to come back!
They did.
So, that's, you know, that's what I would have done, and that's what they did, so I can't... and it wasn't working. You know? And no. This isn't a thing where I was like, no, we should have given it a fair shot. It got its fair shot, it wasn't working.
And, yeah, it's a different time, and that's just... it didn't work anymore.
Yeah, which, and they went the other way with the DiBiase's posse thing.
Right, and it just, it didn't really have a whole lot of time to go, and it was picking up a little bit of momentum, and...
yeah.
And then he broke his foot, I think, and then he was off TV.
It wasn't mine for a while. It wasn't super clicking for me either, and, like, the thing was, get him back to Cody, kind of, they had good chemistry together,
mm-hmm.
you know, they could feud well together, they could have a My Dad Could Beat Up Your Dad contest.
Fair enough.
But, I don't know. He had talent. I'm kind of glad he walked away rather than he got future endeavored.
Yeah.
So, I wish the guy luck.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah, kind of what are you to do?
Maybe he can be in the Marine Corps.
You know, one out of three Marines is no longer employed by the WWE.
Yep. Sure isn't.
Mm-hmm.
I had an interesting idea.
Yeah.
We have this current storyline with Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, something that gets brought up quite a bit is Orton's two strikes, his two wellness policy violations.
Right.
And, you know, it's well known with a lot of people that, you know, it's a three-strike policy, you know, your third one, you're automatically terminated.
Yes.
The question that comes to mind is, what would we do, us, me and Joel, what would we do if Orton got his third strike today, in the middle of this storyline?
Yeah, if you woke up tomorrow, turned on the internet, and that was the announcement.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, and so part of this is because, you know, we talked about, oh, they were hesitant on giving Orton anything because he had this two-strike thing. And so now this is the first time since that second strike that they've put the championship back on him. Here, the ways you can go, you can give him his one last TV appearance to get the belt off of him. Or you just open up the show with Triple H being like, he's gone. I put my faith in him for this reason and this reason, and he let me down. Just like, and stay in super Triple H heel mode, just like, you know, Cena let me down because he hurt himself and blah, blah, blah. Like, Sheamus has let me down. Like, Daniel Bryan will let me down, which is why I won't give him a chance. Which is why I Triple H, am declaring myself WWE
champion. That's exactly what I would have done, too. They would have inserted Triple H, because... let's be honest, they haven't built any other heel right now.
And he doesn't need to be champion for too long. Like,
they don't really need to pull Punk into this. And this wouldn't be a good fit for Punk if they tried to turn Punk heel into this. It doesn't really work for him. Now, of course, Punk would do the best that he could, and it would be good, but it wouldn't be right for Punk.
Yeah,
that's the only other option I can think of.
There's already been a little bit of groundwork you could pull from, coincidentally, I'm hoping and assuming, from this week where he's saying, I consider that belt to be my property. He said that on the show this week. And that's, you know, you build right from that line. This is mine, and I can trust nobody to hold it, so I am now your champion. The only other thing I could do is say that there's one man who comes through for the WWE time and time again. When I gave it to Randy Orton, he failed me. And then I would bring up, when I gave Daniel Bryan a chance, he violated our rules and failed me. And I fired him. You know, bring up that Daniel Bryan was fired a while back,
right?
Because he failed Triple H. And the one man that would do it is John Cena. And you bring back John Cena as your face champion, as your, you know, the face of the company champion, effectively doing a John Cena heel turn. And I know I really try not to be like, this would be a perfect time to turn John Cena heel. Right. Because it's always a perfect time to turn John Cena heel.
In this scenario, there's very few people that could take up that mantle.
Yes. Right now. I have said before, when John Cena turns heel, because it's a storyline that needs to happen at some point. It's just, you know, it's there.
How long will it be before John Cena's fan base fizzles out?
Yeah, they can't. They'll
be willing to do that.
There will be a moment in time where it will be best for the company and for business to turn John Cena heel. It will take a long time. I don't think it's happening anytime soon. But Hogan turned heel. You know, that's the thing. Is like,
right.
And John Cena is Hogan. As best of parallels you can find. That's it.
Was Hogan ever a heel in WWE?
No, I think.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that was all WCW.
Yeah. But it was, we have to do something different and crazy. Right. And the thing is, Hogan is heel. That's never happened, but it will happen eventually. And I think Cena will eventually be turned to heel. It will be the right thing to do. And I have said, when that happens, I would make Cena a corporate heel. I would make him.
Yeah, that would fit. That would fit
very
well.
That's the best way to fit it. And so, in this, you know, desperate time, I think the Triple H thing works better.
I mean, at least that would work if this were to happen before John Cena was ready to come back.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what I would do if I wanted to go the John Cena route was be like, he's champion, but you're not fighting him because he's injured. You're not hurting my precious baby here who is the face of my company.
Right.
And I would, I don't know, like, I'd make them fight for number one contenderships.
For 6 months?
Yep, I'd do it. It would be, okay.
I would, in that instance, I would have the challenger, in this case, Daniel Bryan, face the Shield in John Cena's stead.
Yeah.
You know, essentially the Shield is fighting for Cena. And if, you know, all three of them lose, then, you know, he gets the belt.
Well, you know, that's one way to do
like
it.
Like a de facto kind of thing.
The thing here is Cena will be well by WrestleMania. And if you've had to heal Cena through nefarious and stupid legal loopholes, refusing to fight between now and, like, WrestleMania,
mm-hmm.
you get a big moment at WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah.
But you don't have a real championship match on any pay-per-view leading up to that.
Right.
Which is a big hindrance. And I'm not saying do that. I'm not saying I think this is a good idea.
But it's just a possible route.
But as storytelling, to continually, and this is actually a story that fits better on a month-to-month on a week-to-week basis, with the end-of-the-month pay-per-view being where Cena finally defends his belt. So, you know, you have Cena defend his belt, but in a handicap match where it's Cena and the Shield fighting Daniel Bryan, and Cena can just sit in the corner and not actually have to do anything. And then you have, you know, Cena defending in some other match where he doesn't have to put any strain on himself, and, you know, easily beats Bryan again and again.
Yeah.
But no, all that being said, the Triple H way is still the way to go.
Yeah.
The guy can lace up fine. You know, and then you get a lot more Daniel Bryan. This is not fair. You cannot, knew that. I'm the CEO. I can do anything I want. This is my company.
Yeah.
Da-da-da-da. So, no, yeah, that's what I did. Triple H champion.
Yeah, I...
Self-proclaimed champion.
I agree.
So.
Cool.
We're good now, right?
That's right, it's time for the mail sack! Mail sack, why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack, let's all go inside. Mail sack, why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack. We start off with a bit of mail that we didn't get to last week.
Sorry.
But it's our friend Neil, we don't really care.
Not that sorry.
No. He said, for every current pay-per-view that doesn't have a gimmick, give it a gimmick based on its name.
Okay.
So let's just start from the... Royal Rumble has a gimmick.
Royal Rumble has a gimmick.
Elimination Chamber has a gimmick. WrestleMania...
Is WrestleMania a gimmick in and of itself?
I feel like WrestleMania would be, like, some sort of... I think it should be, like... It should be some sort of tournament.
Yeah. Well, okay. Like if I had to give it specifically based on its name is WrestleMania, which means that it's Mania! Which means every match has to be crazy!
Oh, God.
I have to do it based on the name. Like, so that would be it, is focused, because
there's
wrestling. Know, like, the gimmick is wrestling, so yeah, Mania!
Extreme Rules... Pretty much the gimmick.
The gimmick is kind of a moot point now that we're in PG territory. Right. Like, there's, I hate Extreme Rules. Not as much as I hate other ones.
Payback.
Okay, I don't like this gimmick, but I guess I'm not gonna like a lot of them.
No one said it had to be good.
It just has to be based on the name. Payback, every match has to be a rematch from something prior.
Okay, that's pretty loose.
Well, it's okay, give a better one for Payback.
No, I really don't, to be honest with you. I mean, if this was Over the Limit, then that would be easy.
Over the Limit's just over the rip stuff.
Exactly.
Okay, but because it's Payback, so with the loser of the previous match now having some sort of stipulation advantage.
Okay. Right, I see what you're saying. Alright, that makes it a little bit better. Money in the Bank, we're good.
Money in the Bank has a gimmick.
Summer Slam?
Every match is a body slam contest.
Or every match is, you know, beach theme.
No, I'm going with the slam thing. You win by body slamming your opponent. No pinfalls.
They would all be so quick.
I know, it'd be terrible. we're making really bad things.
Night of Champions is a gimmick.
I hate Night of Champions gimmick. We're gonna do that again. I'm gonna have to explain it again just because I hate it so much. I need to talk about it.
What's after Night of Champions?
Helena Cell.
Yeah,
which is a gimmick. I hate that one too. God, I hate all these.
I know. Then it would be Battleground.
Battleground this year, which we don't know if Battleground's getting a gimmick or not.
But, like, what was suggested, I think it was Rhett a couple weeks ago,
is bring back War Games.
Yeah, and I'd be
totally fine with that if I did not know that and you're asking me this question. The first thing I would think of is Mick Foley talked about matches that he had, I think, in Japan where they hit explosives under the ring.
Oh, God.
So, like, sometimes you would get slammed and there would be explosions.
Those were so horrible.
They were terrible. No, they were not. You know, they were brutal and violence for violence sake and carnage. But that's what I would think of if you're, like, the Battleground pay-per-view is minefield stuff. Survivor Series?
No, because there's... Oh, yeah, that's right. Battleground's first, then...
Then Hell in a Cell,
yeah. That's right, because they're both in October. Yeah,
I just went from September to October and New Hell in a Cell.
You're right. So after that would be Survivor Series. We have the traditional Survivor Series match. Which hasn't really gotten a whole lot of...
And it?
I mean, it's the namesake of the whole thing.
Yeah.
And then we got TLC, and that's just riddled with gimmick.
Yeah, that is the gimmick of them.
So, basically... We do not need every single pay-per-view to be a gimmick.
Everything is a gimmick, except for filler one in June.
And usually those are the ones that get a name change, like, every other year.
Yeah. That's what I was like, because when I first heard this question, I was like, so does No Way Out have a gimmick or not? Because the gimmick used to be the Elimination Chamber match, and then it got its own thing. And so now No Way Out is a gimmick or not a gimmick?
Cage match?
Yeah, I don't know.
There is No Way Out.
There's a way out.
No, there is... No, because that pay-per-view's not happening. There is no way out.
There is no way out.
There's no way out, which is...
There is a no way out in Germany.
And that one is Elimination Chamber?
Yeah, they still call Elimination Chamber No Way Out in Germany.
Yeah.
They don't like to talk about chambers they really in Germany. Don't.
Understandable.
No, it's understandable.
Great PR team. Great PR team to catch that one.
Yeah.
Moving along, we have from Twitter, this comes from @radman9. What did you think of Miz's Fandango impersonation, and who should he do next?
Because he has imitated The Rock prior and Cena. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess you are skirting around it, but you're basically asking who should the Miz feud with next.
I mean, I don't
apparently think... the Miz's go-to thing is to impersonate the person he's feuding right. with.
I mean, I don't like to think of it like that, but I would think it would be funny to see him impersonate the Wyatt family. All three of them.
I mean, that would be good, honestly, because that's a gimmick. Like,
right.
You know, he...
Yeah, like, it would be... The more gimmicky it is, the more funny it would be.
Yes. I would like to go out and say I'm very much against The Miz impersonating Mark Henry... Or Darren Young. Or Titus.
but impersonating The Rock is fine.
Oh, good point. Solid point. To be fair, I totally thought that was The Rock
for a second. I did too. Then I just realized, he just put on a lot of bronzer.
Yeah. So.
When he took that ball cap off, whoo, some whitehead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It didn't occur to me when he did The Rock. That is a solid point.
I hate it when I make good points.
And then he snuck it in.
Miz can do... I'll watch Miz do a Lawler impersonation.
Yeah.
Just a lot of fringe, not PG comments. Mm. Yeah.
And a t-shirt.
And our favorite is ever.
Pussbot's back.
Pussbot is back. And not, again, not a bad question from Pussbot. We do a thing on Twitter every Monday. Whenever Randy Orton comes out, we rank him on the Randy Orton Orangometer. I think this week I said he was a solid tangerine.
Lovely.
Not as bad as he'd been, you know, usually he's, you know, right on traffic cone.
Mm-hmm.
But at Pussbot3000, our favorite, our second favorite WWE-themed Roomba,
Well, he's our favorite WWE-themed Roomba.
Okay.
But he's our second favorite Roomba.
Roomba overall. Unless DJ Roomba starts playing WWE themes.
Yes, that's true.
Because
then he is...
If DJ Roomba came into my room right now playing No Chance, I'd pop.
But then he is the best WWE-themed Roomba. Ask the question quick.
Oh, God, your inception is so hard.
This is a road we don't want to go down. Ask the question.
Where does Sheamus land on the orange meter, and who is closest to him on that meter in terms of color? He's like a -5.
Sheamus is the white album.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, good. And the closest person to him, I don't know, like, because... Personally, I would say I'm a 2, because I'm pretty pale, but I'm not in the negative.
Like, the closest person to him...
You can tell when I've been out in the sun for a while.
I saw this educational cartoon once, talking about good study habits, and I had a cartoon pencil and a cartoon piece of paper telling you about good study habits. Mm-hmm. I would like to say that cartoon piece of paper...
I was going to say powder, but okay. Fair enough. Next, at Jonah Q... What do you think of Inside Pulse creating a pool for how many times Daniel Bryan utilizes the phrase "ladies and gentlemen"? I never noticed this.
No, this is, and like you said this right before. If this is true, like this
major is, glass shattering.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never noticed that.
You should acknowledge what glass shattering means, because here it means Stone Cold's back.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Glass shattering is How I Met Your Mother's thing. And basically, it's whenever someone points out a certain
tick
characteristic of a person that they do repeatedly, but you never notice. And then someone points it out to you, that's them breaking the glass.
And now you can't not notice it.
Yes. Like, for instance, I didn't know that until I listened to the Nerdist podcast that Zooey Deschanel says, like, way too many times. Mm-hmm. Dear God.
She says it like a lot.
Yeah, like a lot.
Like a lot, a lot.
So yeah, I never noticed this, but now thanks to Jonah, I'm going to be watching. Just like I watch every single Triple H promo, waiting for him to say business a bunch of times.
And you can now join in on the
business count.
And the ladies and gentlemen count. So, next up, our last one is from at BD Inside Pulse, which is Blair. So, if the AJ promo makes any sense at all, then Cena should cut a promo on how he, on how he's sick of the preferential treatment that JTG gets.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, I understand what he's saying. Like, he's basically, like, Cena's getting this huge push or whatever, and basically, AJ's getting a huge push as well, and it basically, her complaining about these other people getting their 15 minutes is like Cena saying that JTG's been getting treatment over him. Yeah.
This is here's the really important moment here.
Okay.
If I am to read this right, and Blair can feel free to correct us, because I know he's listening, but he can feel free to correct me if I'm wrong.
Mm.
But Blair didn't like the AJ promo.
I think he's more... I think he's reacting more to people's...
Are Blair and Joel agreeing...
On
how much we should like the AJ promo?
I think all three of us are on the same page with this. I really do. I don't think Blair necessarily dislikes it. He just doesn't understand the reaction to it.
Yeah.
He's criticizing the reaction to it.
Have we ever been on the same page?
All three of us?
Yeah.
Sheamus.
No, I think I had to go make my own page.
Fair enough. We were on a completely different page about Mark Henry.
Yeah.
Like, Blair will not accept anything with Mark Henry.
Even the dance.
Even the dance, because that dance is glorious.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we all like Punk. We all love Punk.
Okay, that's a gimme. We also like not being dead. It's pretty good.
Fair enough.
So, whatever. All right, rock on.
All right, that's a very... inspirational note to go out on.
Yeah!
Yeah.
Alright, so, as always, you can follow us at CR Attire on Twitter. We'll be live tweeting all Monday Night Raws, appropriate Sundays, and whenever else we feel like it.
Yep, and if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to talk about here on the show, send those to our email. Also, if, and you know, Christmas is right around the corner. You think it's a long time from now, but it creeps up on you.
It does.
Because everyone loves Christmas. And forget you if you don't like Christmas. I'm not going to say the real version, but yes. We will send you our Merry Christmas Miz postcards.
Yes.
To you. You just got to email us the request, and we'll get all that other stuff worked out. Also, if you want to take our challenge of is the worst promo
ever spoken forth.
Yes. Because we don't want to, you know, gimmick infringe.
Yeah.
You send all of that to classofringattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes. You can look us up there. You can subscribe. You can download. You get new episodes every single week. You could also give us a rating of
5 stars!
Or write a review. It'd be fantastic.
And if you're listening to this on wrestling.insidepulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you. Leave us a comment on there, and we will probably talk about it, your comment, here on the show. I just finished my column this week. I go more in depth on my whole thoughts on the AJ thing. So go check that out, as well as all the other great articles that come out on a weekly basis, on a daily basis, I should say, on wrestling.insidepulse.com.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.